Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life." Unlike any other word, the word of God is powerful. Amen. It's life transforming. There's life. When Jesus said, "Let there be light," everything lit up. Amen. And what we need is to be lit up on the inside. Amen. Through the illumined word of God and the Holy Spirit breathing into us new life. And I was lost in trespasses and sins. I was in the world. You know, I was trying to fill up a void and satisfy myself on things that only left me sick. And then Jesus came. And since Jesus came into my heart, it's been a whole different situation. Hallelujah. You know, not without challenges, but I want to tell you that life has come. And the things I do now are because of the indwelling Christ within me. The Holy Spirit has come, and he motivates my heart to obedience to the will of the Father. So I'm just privileged to be able to be here with you today and to share, you know, what the Lord has shared with me. And you know, when you receive something from the Lord, it's very important that you don't just take it for you, but you find somebody to share it with. Amen. God wants us to reproduce, and what you give away, you don't lose. All right? You share what you receive with someone, you won't lose it. But would you stand with me? We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge today that I am completely dependent upon you. That, Lord, I don't have anything to give except what you first give me. And, Lord, I ask you to grant me utterance to speak today. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, our understanding today. Lord, I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear what you are saying, Lord God. We want to be ready for you, God. We want to be prepared unto that day, Lord, body, soul, and spirit. Yes, to be preserved blameless before you at that coming, God. We know, Lord God, that you are reaching out and you are calling to whosoever would respond to the invitation for not only salvation, but to be healed, to be delivered, to be reconciled to God. Most importantly, Lord, we just thank you that you have come. Hallelujah, that we might have life and life more abundantly. We know, Lord, that you ever live at the right hand of the Father to make intercession on behalf of your people. That if we will call upon the name of the Lord, we will be rescued. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are always there, that you are faithful, that you are true, that you are with us, Lord, just like you promised, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, let it be unto me and unto us today, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to read to you, first of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Luke 24 and verse 1 says, Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? That is so profound. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because that's what happens so often, isn't it? We're trying to find life in dead things. But life is only in the Lord. And he's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Father, I just thank you again for your word and how, Lord, you have done so much for us, Lord, so undeserved. And yet you did these things to prove your love for us, Lord. That you demonstrated your love for us on the cross, Lord. That you bore the sins of the world, Lord God. That you have actually paid the price that we deserve to pay. And that, hallelujah, the power of sin has been broken through the blood of the Lamb. And today, Lord, we can walk in freedom. We can be clear. We can be clean. We can be holy as you are holy because of the blood. And I pray today, Father, that again you would draw our hearts to you, God, that every eye will see, every ear will hear and perceive and know what you are doing, what you are saying in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote an article when I first came to town here about, I think it's been about 15, 16 years now, been in Shelton. And it went into the newspaper. And I'm just going to give you an excerpt from that. But it was about Easter, which, of course, is really the word Easter, a story from a pagan goddess. But we understand today that when we come together, it's to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. The new life in Christ Jesus. But a one-time atheist named Josh McDowell, was questioned by a university student from Uruguay who asked him, "Mr. McDowell, why can't you refute Christianity?" In which he answered, "For a very simple reason. I am unable to explain away an event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, he made this statement as an atheist who at one time tried to dispute and disprove the word of God. He thought it was all a myth and it was written by men. And so he took like 700 hours. This guy was a student. He spent over 700 hours studying the subject, primarily the resurrection, and thoroughly investigating its foundation. And he came to the conclusion that the overwhelming historical proof was enough to convince him of the validity of the claims of the Bible regarding the resurrection of Christ. And so as a result, he eventually came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, was fully born again, fully committed his life, and became one of the great apologists of our time. Wrote some of the, maybe you're familiar with some of the books he wrote. One was More Than a Carpenter, and Christ, what was the other one he wrote? It was The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Really good apologetics, defending the faith. And so he once was trying to disprove it. He came to the place where now he's proving it to other people who are in that same place today. And you know, it happens quite often where people are trying to disbelieve and trying not to believe it's true, that the Holy Spirit breaks through and brings clarity and understanding. How many know that you and I really cannot know the truth except that the truth be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit? We are incapable on our own natural reasoning to know God. So God sent his Spirit to teach us, to reveal to us what is real, what is authentic. And so Jesus was at the scene of Lazarus' resurrection here. He declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And, you know, Jesus didn't say that I am a way to resurrection, but he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, in order to have resurrection life, you must be possessed by resurrection life. And he is resurrection life. In other words, you must be possessed by Jesus Christ. You must have Christ in you, because Christ in you is the hope that we have, the hope of glory. Amen. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And that's the difference, guys. People go to church, they attend church, they do religious things. But unless the person is born again and the Spirit of Christ is in them, you know, they're just being religious. They're just practicing some kind of religious, you know, ritual. But God didn't come to give us religion. He came to give us a relationship, to restore us back to relationship with him. Amen. And we could become sons of God through new birth. Hallelujah. In other words, he didn't come to just patch up the old you and me, or to improve upon the old. You see, there's a lot of self-help books out there and CDs or whatever, you know, that people are listening to try to improve their lives, to make my life better. You know, but God didn't come just to improve upon the old thing. He came, amen, to give you a brand new life, a brand new beginning, to become a new creation, a new created order, amen, that God has established. It is of him and not of man. It's not something we can do. It's something that he does through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so people need to be born again. And there are people who think they're going to heaven because I'm a good person and I've lived a good life and I haven't been as bad as Joe over there. So therefore, God must love me a little bit more and he'll accept me and I go to heaven because I'm a good person. And yet the Lord made it clear that there was none good. There was only one that was ever good, and that was Jesus. Amen. The sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God came, lived a sinless life. Amen. So that he would qualify to become our sacrifice. And only through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is there salvation. There is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And yet people are trying in their own efforts to somehow be good enough to merit heaven. And that's the difference between Christianity, true Christianity, and all the religions of the world. All the religions of the world are telling you, you must do all these things in order to be righteous before God. And people live in bondage, never quite knowing if they've ever arrived at that place of perfection to where finally I'm good enough for God to love me and accept me. And so the devil has blinded the eyes of people, because until we turn to the only one who can remove the veil or the blinders, that's Jesus Christ, we will not be able to know the way. And Jesus had allowed his followers to see that he was the Christ, that he was the promised Messiah that would come into the world and become the Lamb of God and be slain on that cross for the sins of the world. God placed upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, and we can be freely forgiven, hallelujah, if we will repent from our hearts and turn to the only one that can save. Hallelujah. If you try to save your life, Jesus said, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, in other words, you commit your life, give your life to him, you'll find your life in him. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to me. I came to the place where I had to surrender. And guys, I still hear the testimonies today. People are saying, you know, it wasn't until I really fully surrendered, until I knew what it was to be born again. You know, there's people that will give God lip service and we'll all go and I'll check in on Sunday morning once in a while, or I'll show up at Easter or Christmas and do the Easter and Christmas thing, you know, and just like you have a foot into heaven. You know, that's not how it works. Because you and I are incapable of being in the presence of the Holy One. Amen. Sinful flesh cannot be in the presence of the Holy God, to whom we all must give an account. How many know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? Amen. The good news is that Christ bore the sins of us, amen, already paid the price for us, that if we would turn to him and be honest about ourselves and quit trying to pretend that somehow we think we're good enough to merit God's salvation, amen. It was not possible under the law, under the Old Testament, and through all the other religions in the world. It's only possible through the only one who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ, amen. And we have assurance of that because he is risen from the dead, amen. Hallelujah. Josh Madal could not disprove that. It was a historical fact. He appeared to many after his resurrection. Even secular historians at that time had written about the fact that Christ had appeared after he was crucified and rose again. Hallelujah. You know, when he showed up, and Martha, of course, was upset with Jesus because she came to Jesus and said, Lord, my brother, he's sick. He's about ready to die. And Jesus said, I'll be right there. 4 days later, he shows up. By that time, guess what? Lazarus was well dead. Amen. As a matter of fact, in the King James, they said he stinketh. He was starting to rot. But, you know, in John 11:40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Isn't that awesome to have a relationship with a father where you can just say, Father, thank you for listening to me. Do you believe that God listens to you? Yes. Amen. And he says in that, you what? You always hear me. I know that you always hear me, verse 42, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this. How many here have ever prayed a prayer in the presence of somebody else where you're actually preaching to them too? All the time, right? Can I pray for you half hour later? Yeah, thanks. We're going to have an altar call right here and now, okay? But, you know, that's God's heart, though. God is not willing that anyone should perish. He wants to see people saved. Jesus paid a horrible price for our salvation. Amen. He took the sins that we deserve to pay for upon himself. Hallelujah. You don't have to live in guilt and condemnation and shame. So many people are walking around just with this guilty conscience and they feel ashamed of their past and they're just beat down because they don't know what to do with it. So they decide just to do a lot of good things to try to appease their conscience and maybe feel a little better about, you know, my life, but still they can't deal with the problem of that I have sinned and I have become guilty before God. Guess what? The good news is that Jesus took care of that for you. He took care of it for you. He doesn't want you living another moment and regret over yesterday. Today is a new day. Today is a day of salvation. Amen. It doesn't matter what happened last week or last year. Turn to the only one, amen, that can forgive you, that can save you, amen, and thank him for his mercy. It is by the mercy that we of God that we are saved. It's not of me. And it's not of you. Lest we should boast, lest we should compare ourselves to other people. As the publican, right, and the Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Comparing himself to other people, you know. But the publican beat his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what, guys? It's by the grace of God that we can come to an understanding that we are sinful. You got to first come to the place where you know you're sinful and you're lost and you can't save yourself. Amen. So you'll turn to the only one who can deal with that conscience. Amen. And to wipe away those things, all those sins. Amen. And make you a new creation. Only through Jesus is there salvation. And so it goes on to say in verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, there's a sermon in that, isn't there? Loose him and let him go. How many know that that's the way sin and sin leads to death? Amen. And death is like being in bondage. I lived many years in bondage, but God set me free from the power of death. Hallelujah. And made me a new creation. And in verse 26, the Lord prophesied also of a time when all true believers would be raised from the dead. In John 11, verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, how did she know that? The only way she could have known who Jesus was is that the Holy Spirit had revealed that to her, just like he revealed that to Peter. So there's going to be a resurrection. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's going to be two resurrections, one of the just and the unjust. And you want to be part of the just. Amen. Is there going to be a future bodily resurrection? As a matter of fact, we're not going to just be spirits, but we're going to have a glorified body just like Jesus. He rose bodily on the third day. Amen. And he appeared to many. They were able to actually handle him. He was able to eat with them. He was able to transcend matter. He could walk through walls. That'll be cool. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Sleep meaning death, dying. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. For here it is, this corruptible, that means this Adamic nature, this body that we received, amen, this fallen body that's decaying, that's fallen apart, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So according to the scriptures, we're going to be receiving a glorified body just like the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also give life to your mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. Death could not keep Jesus in the grave. Amen. He rose again. Hallelujah. Triumphant over the grave. Hallelujah. And you know, when he had died on the cross and he said, it is finished, it says that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Amen. Diagonally, some say. Hallelujah. So the way into the holiest had been opened at that time. No longer do we have to bring a lamb, amen, or a blood sacrifice, because the Lord Jesus, our sacrifice, our sacrificial lamb, died once and for all for those who will trust him. Amen. Those who will call on him and with a repentant heart, they will find forgiveness of sins. They will find mercy, because God wants to save. God is not willing that anyone should perish. But guys, if you think that in yourself, you are righteous, you are fooling yourself. That is why Jesus needed to come, because we could not pay for our own sin. We could not justify ourselves before God. We needed someone to take our sins away. We needed someone to take our place. And that's what Jesus did. Aren't you glad today? And so this resurrection life can only be experienced by those who have truly repented and followed Jesus. When Paul waited for Silas and Timothy to come to him when he was at Athens, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 16, he said, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. That word provoked means exasperated within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. I don't know how you feel about America today, but we're given over to idols in this country. Amen. And I'm grieved in my spirit. I'm provoked. Amen. I'm exasperated sometimes when I see all the idolatry, because you know that people are following after false gods that cannot save, that cannot help them. And so he spoke up and he warned the people of Athens of the coming judgment and their need to turn from idols to the living God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. That's idolatry. But now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by what? Raising him from the dead. That is proof, amen, that Jesus is Lord and judge. And he's appointed a day in which he shall judge the world by that same man that God has ordained. How do we know that? He's given us assurance because he has raised him from the dead. Now, when we talk about idols, when we talk about idolatry, what are we talking about? We're talking about anything that would take the place of God in your heart. People think, oh, I don't bow down to Buddha, or I don't bow down to these, you know, wooden carved images or whatever. But whatever you put before God is an idol. Whatever is taking the place of God in your life, in your heart. You see, many people don't have any time for God, because they're so busy with everything else in their life. Guys, that's idolatry. And God says that you need to turn from idolatry to the living God, the only one who can save you. Amen. And you need to put the kingdom of God above everything else. Prioritize his will for your life. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the things that you need, he's going to take care of. He'll add all those things to your life. Hallelujah. But pursue God above everything else, and he'll take care of everything else in your life. How many know that God is good and he wants to provide for you? He wants to take care for you. Amen. But he wants you to put him first in your life and turn from idols. Hallelujah. So when Paul was in Thessalonica, many people were transformed by the power of God, and many had left their idols and turned to God and had committed their life to God. And the people have found the Lord was so satisfying that they were willing to do that. You see, I didn't know that God was so good. I heard people talk about how good God was, but I didn't know how good God was, because I hadn't really tasted and see how good God really was. It wasn't just some cliche. You know, I thought those people were nuts. You know, now I know what they're talking about. God indeed is so good. And when you know the goodness of God, hallelujah, amen, then the lesser things of this world, the things that we might have at one time prioritized before God, or things that might have taken the place of God in our hearts, they're no longer there. Why? Because we found out that God is the true joy giver, that God is the only one that can satisfy the deepest longing of my heart. My life is only complete in my God, hallelujah, because we were created for him, amen, for a relationship, for fellowship with our Creator, hallelujah. And so if I'm not living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm living living a dysfunctional life. And many people are living dysfunctional and not even aware that they're dysfunctional, because to them that's normal. There was a time in my life when being dysfunctional was normal to me. But now I say I have a new normal. What used to be abnormal is now normal. What used to be normal is now abnormal. How many here have said, since you came to the Lord, what was I thinking? Well, you couldn't think clearly until the Holy Spirit revealed to you, amen, the truth of the matter. What was really going on. How deceived we were. We were thinking a lie was something true. But when we're in union with the Lord, when you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no fear of death. Amen? How many know that fear of man and fear of death will make you do crazy things? Amen? It'll make you compromise in your walk. God doesn't want us to be living by fear, but walking by faith, confident assurance that our God is with us and for us, and will be, just like he said. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In 1 John 4:17, it says, as we live in God, say, live in God. What happens? Our love grows more complete or perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. As we do what? As we live in God, as we abide in the Lord, we grow, amen, in the love of God. And then we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. Wow. That's our standard, guys, is to be like Jesus. Anybody beside myself say there's room for improvement? How many want to be like Jesus? You know, if you want to be like the Lord, you'll become like him, because you'll seek him. You want to know him personally. And he will show you the way. The people found the Lord was so satisfying that they dropped their idols and they were willing to run after God. And yet this resurrection life only comes from the indwelling Christ in the believer, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, everybody say if. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. It didn't say because you go to church and you do church things and you read your Bible and you sing in the choir. It says because Christ is in you. Amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. There's a separation that takes place between the old and the new. The old Adamic nature, the sin nature, and the new creation in Christ Jesus. We become, in a sense, like schizophrenic. All right? The first thing that happens is you start to realize that there's a difference between the Spirit of God in me, amen, and the new creation, and the old life. Before, all I knew was the old. That when you come to Christ, all of a sudden you become aware that that thing is still trying to take over every day. Amen. Get in your thought life and get you to listen and bow down to that. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. I have to put that part of me to death. Amen. I have to obey the Spirit of Christ. That means I have to be very positive about this. I have to commit myself to the Lord and rely upon his grace, his strength every day, so that I can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because it's impossible for us to do what God's called us to do apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So we have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will give you the ability to control your body. Amen. Your body will become your servant, not your master. But it says here in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad I'm getting a new body someday. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, that was Adam, right? By man also came the resurrection of the dead. That was Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So it was by man that death first came into the world. That man was Adam, and through sin, death came upon all of us. So what happened? God sent his son into the world as a man in order to undo the work of the first man and to transform you and I into these new creations in Christ Jesus. You know, guys, when you're born again, you want people to know about it. You want to tell people about it, don't you? Because it's, you're so in love with Jesus, and all of a sudden you find yourself loving people that before maybe people were more of an annoyance or an opportunity for you. Now it's like you want to help people. Now you want to bless people. Now you want to see people do better. Amen. Because of the love of God that's in your heart. You must be born again. He's not talking about, again, patching up your old life, just improving your life. Too many people, they come to church thinking, I'm just going to come and get improved upon. No, God doesn't want to improve you. He wants to transform you. He wants to make us like his son, Jesus. Amen. And so those of us who have entered into union with Christ have passed from death unto life. And it is by the gift of God's grace. Death is swallowed up in victory. In Romans 8 and verse 11, it says, but if the spirit again of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Have you been born again? Is the spirit of Christ in you? You know, if the spirit of Christ is in you, you will know it. You don't have to live with this thing of am I or ain't I? Ain't I? I used to, you know, think I was an English major. Now I are one. So. But God wants us to be his children. He wants us reconciled. He wants us brought back to him. Why? Because he doesn't want to leave us in our old state, our old condition. Because, guys, the way we're born is sinful and fallen. And that's what the problem is. It's not the politicians. The politicians are doing the best they know with their own human reasoning. And how well is that working? Why is there such a mess? Because people are falling away from their creator. They're falling away from God. And so our minds are darkened and we're making decisions that are foolish, thinking that we're being wise. And we cannot know truth except that God will reveal truth by his spirit to us. And he reveals that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we will come to him, amen, and trust in him, commit ourselves to him, he will save that which we have committed to him. He can save that which he owns. But you have to give up ownership. You have to be willing to transfer this life over to his. Amen. Unfortunately, too many even go to church all the time are just thinking it's about just improving. Just getting better. Well, God will make you better. Yes. But guys, we got to get out of the seat of being our own savior. We need to understand that we cannot be Lord of our own lives and win this thing. Jesus won it for us. Amen. So we need to bow our soul before him. That's what real worship is bowing our soul to our creator and allowing him to be Lord, to rule over our lives now and lead us in the way that we should go, because his way is life everlasting. He wants you to have his life. You remember when John was on the Isle of Patmos? He said, when I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, of hell, and of death. In other words, Jesus Christ has authority over death and judgment. And how many know that every knee will bow to him? Every tongue will confess him. Do you understand that you and I are going to be before Christ Jesus someday, amen. We're going to bow our knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We have our appointment with God. There is a judgment, amen. But today is the day of opportunity that God is allowing us to get things right, to get things settled today, to have our sins forgiven and to be right standing with God, so that we will not be fearful in that day of judgment, because we, as he was in this world, so are we. We have partnered with Christ, amen, and we have committed ourselves fully to him, trusting trusting him fully for the grace which will be revealed when Christ comes from heaven. Amen. Are you ready to meet Jesus? He's coming. And he's coming for those who are looking for him, not those who are steeped in idolatry, not those who love this world more than they love God, but those who love God. Amen. He's coming for his bride. His bride is the one that has kept herself pure for the bridegroom. Amen. She's not adulterating herself or prostituting herself in the world with idolatry. Are you hearing me, somebody? God's looking for a church. He's coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a holy people, a holy bride. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Today is your opportunity. If you're not sure about your salvation, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can get it right, where you can settle that account, because Jesus already took care of it for you. But you need to turn to him. You need to repent. That means I need to change direction. I was living for myself. I was living for the world. Now I'm going to commit myself to Jesus Christ and live for him and for his will for my life. I'm changing ownership. I used to serve Satan. Now I'm serving the King. Amen. Hallelujah. And the day is coming when Jesus will deal with that devil too. Aren't you glad? So to the unsaved, God is saying, be reconciled. Peter said, save yourself from this perverse generation. We're living in a very perverse time, aren't we? Sin, iniquity abounds everywhere. And because of that, the love of many, and that word love is agape, the love of God, and many will grow cold. How many know we need the flame of God burning in us? Amen. We need to be in revival. God wants his church to be revived, to be awake, amen, to be filled with his power, hallelujah, and to be abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ, who will, amen, release his life in and through us, and we will be a blessing in this world. I used to just live for me. Now I'm living for Jesus. Now I live for others, and it's because God has changed my heart. It's because he took out of me that old heart of stone. And he gave me a heart of flesh, a new heart, amen, that loves him, that desires to please him. That's what happens when you're born again. Don't be fooled. Amen. It's not about how good I am. It's how good God is and how merciful God is, and that God is inviting me to come to receive forgiveness of sins. Isn't that good news? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Would you stand this morning? It's not too late. It's not too late. Somebody say it's not too late.
It's not too late.
But don't delay.
Don't delay.
Come to Jesus,
today.
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
But don't delay.
Don't delay.
Be reconciled to God.
Be reconciled
to God. Today.
Today.
Say today,
today
is the day of salvation.
Today is, salvation.
Today is a new beginning.
Today is a new beginning.
I will commit my life to
Jesus Christ.
For there is salvation
in none other,
no other name
under heaven
given among men whereby I must be saved. Hallelujah. Do you receive Jesus today? Say, open, Lord Jesus. Come on, everyone in this house, lift your hands. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I want your salvation. Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Give me a new heart.
Take out that old heart. And give me your heart. Make me a new creation. In Jesus' name. Lord, give me the power to live for you, to serve you all my days. Hallelujah! 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 Now listen. The Lord said, if you confess him before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and of the holy angels. Today, you need to make a decision who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, amen, you need to tell somebody. Tell somebody, all right, that you receive Jesus Christ today. Amen. And that you declare him as Lord. Confess Jesus before men. Amen. Openly. unashamedly. Amen? And Jesus said to me, what? He would also confess you before the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.